Hello and welcome to List Podcast, The Guests. Each of these episodes features different guests in conversation with someone who knows them. Tonight, that's me and Danny. We are recording this episode after dinner with our lovely friends in London who have kindly stayed along to listen to our chat. I'm Zach, I'm style editor of GQ, and this is Danny. And what do you do? For those who don't know, what do you actually do?
Former presenter of the YouTube show PAQ, currently content creator and model, I guess. That is my official title. So yeah, hello.
So PAQ, how did you get that? And then how did you end up here?
So now that PAQ is over and I can tell the real story, it was essentially what happened was, going from my life before was, I've got no like formal background in either presenting. I had no real aspiration to do YouTube or anything like this. It was quite far-fetched. It wasn't really a thing at the time.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to work in a retail store, but I'd handed out my CV to a few shops in like our local shopping center. Ended up getting a DM on Instagram from a lass called Kylie Schwartz who said, "Hey, we're looking for a presenter for a new online show. I can't remember if it's streetwear or not. Covering like fashion, culture, and this kind of stuff in London. Are you free for an email?" It's like, oh, this is quite cool. It could either be spam or scam or whatever.
What year was this? Did you have a big following?
I was on. I remember I was on 1,313 because it was like 1313, okay. Which is quite weird. Yeah, I remember it so.
Big day for you,
isn't it? But it was. Yeah, it was really bizarre. And I'm pretty sure she told me afterwards that it's because I've always lived in Yorkshire, but I used to go down to London. But if I did go down to London, I'd geotag London. But if I was in Yorkshire, I wouldn't geotag anything. So she thought I was actually from London. So I kind
Hopefully no one from Yorkshire is listening.
Don't think they've got internet. I don't think we're that far in yet. But I got the email, had a phone call, and then after that, went down for like an interview, which was just like a personality thing. There was nothing really there. It was just like, hi, thanks for coming in. Like, just wanted to see you in person, see if not catfishing or whatever. And then basically, after that, it was like, we've got, I think it was another two interviews, and then it became the group stage. So I think it was originally 100,000 people got the DM, 10,000 got the email.
So 100,000?
100,000.
Who the hell was sending the DM?
Poor Carly. Poor
person.
Yeah, you
know
what I mean? Yeah.
Some intern somewhere. No money. God.
And it was like, 10,000 got the email. And then it was 100 groups of four went in as like a group stage and they're still going to narrow it down again and kind of whittle it out and do whatever. But me and the four boys ended up doing it. We went in together. I didn't know any of the boys. Elle didn't know the boys. Funny enough, Dex and Shaq knew each other and they used to do a dance style called Jerk, and it was like a Trocadero, it was a London like street dance kind of thing. And them two had been drinking together the night before and they knew of each other, but they weren't too friendly. They were like, anyway, mate, I'm going to head off. Like, I've got an interview in the morning. It's like, oh, me too. Best of luck with yours. Yeah, best of luck with yours. Turn up at the same interview. So it was.
Wow.
The book
okay.
Like Kyra. And then, so they were trying it all. And then we were like spitballing ideas. It was like one of those, like not team building, but it was seeing what you're into. And then it was originally nothing to do with fashion. It was like four lads on the internet. So we were going to do stuff like planning parties without being there. So you'd have CCTV on a location and you'd have to do like real life Sims where you'd hire like builders, landscapers, do this kind of stuff to kind of set stuff up and then do whatever. But all of our like ideas ended up coming back to fashion. We were like, you know what? Let's do a fashion show. So came out the first one. And then they were basically like, you know what? Instead of picking and choosing like different lads, you lot work together. We've got a good idea. Let's run it as a pilot. 130 episodes. He still hasn't told me if I've got the job or not. So I don't know if I am going to be a PAQ presenter or if they're still like, oh yeah. Just
on
thinking about wages.
On the original idea, did you find that daunting? Because you obviously had no experience in any of that.
It was kind of.
Unless you did play The Sims. Don't know.
It sounded fun, but you know when you're like, this is, how much longevity has this got?
Yeah.
Like it sounds good and it sounds cool and it's a great idea, but it's one of those, it's like a viral 10-minute video, something like that. But where do you go from there? I think like a lot of inspiration was like the Try Guys and stuff like that. It was obviously algorithm based on that. But then Shaq came up with Fire Fits for £50. Which is £50 to get a full outfit, And then you get judged at the end of it. So the first one was obviously just us boys judging each other and just like scoring it like come down me style. But then the format obviously developed into we get a guest judge in and all this kind of stuff. And then it got bigger and bigger. And yeah, it's bizarre. So.
And then when did PAQ end? And then what are you doing now? What's that led to?
Reminiscing a lot. So it ended through COVID basically, because a lot of ours was very much, what's it called? Not situational based, but we had to be out and about.
Yeah.
There's not a good content in just saying, we did a few episodes, it's like an online challenge, but you can't do it for all of them. So having the physical aspect taken away where you go and chat to designers and do whatever, it was just too unfeasible to kind of carry on. So Dex is wanting to do his music, Shaq wants to do his art, and Elle wants to do like a clothing line. I'm very happy-go-lucky. But after doing like... It basically means I've got fuck all idea of what I want to do. So then, I don't know. I miss it a lot. Don't get me wrong.
You mentioned longevity. At what point during PAQ or after did you realise that actually you don't need to go and work in retail or you don't need to get like a 9-to-5 job?
I don't know when the actual switching point was because it was...
Have you realised yet? Or
It was weird because I got accepted a job at Paul Smith before I'd gone to the interview at PAQ. Because I'd handed out at 4 stores. It was Paul Smith, Fred Perry, Lacoste, and Ralph Lauren. And all of them except for Paul Smith were in store. So they were like, yeah, it's the managers in there that will decide who gets a job.
Yeah.
But Paul Smith is like, it'll go to the head office. So I was like, obviously, I'm not going to get that one. I don't have any experience or whatever. And then got to London and I met up with a lass called Hebe. And I was basically saying, like, we were just going to hang around and like, she was like, just a friend in London to go around with. And then when I got to London, I got a message off I got a phone call from the Paul Smith lot saying, this would have been on a Saturday, saying, on Monday, come in with your passport and you'll start there and then. I was like, sick.
Did you have the passport? Did you just carry it around?
Always, yeah. So I said to Hebe, I was like, well, there's not really much point in me going to like this interview in London. I've got a job that's 40 minutes away. It's a stable retail job. Mm-hmm. Don't know what like this, obviously won't PAQ at the time, but I didn't know what this London job was going to be. And I don't live in London. So I might just not go. She's like, just go to it. That's what you're here for. I was like, right, I'm going to be really pedantically myself. I'm not going to try and schmooze my way in. I'm not going to be like angling it a different way. I'm going to be like, right, here we are. I've got nothing to lose. I've got a job at home waiting for me technically. So I'll just see what this is all about. It's a bit of fun on that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so with that, fast forward a little bit, we started filming PAQ maybe 3 or 4 days every 2 months. But it wasn't paying the bills then. It was only like... obviously just a couple hundred quid for like a filming day and that was it. So I ended up working at Fred Perry in the designer outlet.
Okay.
And I think the reason when I knew it was going to be quite feasible is when I was in London, I was turning down more shifts than I was getting because I was in London more frequently. And I think that was the time when I knew it was going to be like, right, this is actually a job. This isn't just like a piss around hobby being like, oh, we'll see how far it goes. It's like, I'm down here more often. Yeah, it could be quite...
Did you see it lasting? Or did people around you see it lasting? Like, what did your parents say?
My dad... So I've come from like not a money-oriented family, but my mum worked in a bank and my dad's an accountant. So mum has always... Obviously, they both believed in me, but my dad was always saying, get yourself a real stable job. Like, this is a dream. It's fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, you still need to think about living.
Yeah.
But my mum was like... just trust him, like, it should be all right. Because I think Dad was still forcing me to get, like, another job or saying, like, you still need to, like, hand out your CV. Don't think that this is going to be, like, the golden goose or whatever. He's like, still have a backup plan. And was like, we'll just see how it goes for a little bit, see, like, whatever happens. And lo and behold, it ended up, like, never predicted, like...
Have you ever, sort of, you are in the fashion industry, but you don't have a typical job, per se?
Yeah.
Have you ever had negative reaction?
Yeah, originally, and but the thing is, it's never been from people who are in the industry who have not got like formal training, but someone like yourself who works at GQ, we've always had respect from like publications and stuff like this. It's always just been the cool kids in the scene sometimes who have always been a bit, not threatened, but it's like, I don't know, who are these new kids? Like, you ain't grown up here. And now it's like, whatever. It's sometimes a bit like that. But it was all, like, majority was all love. Like, the thing with PAQ is we always, we never realised this, and it was credit to the people behind the scenes. They made it very PG, and they made it very, like, positive. And don't get me wrong, it's not like we were begrudgingly overly nice. Like, we could still slate each other, but the overarching thing was positive. And even now, when you get people, like, stopping you on the street, it's always been a positive reaction. Mm. It's never been kind of, like, I couldn't imagine ever being on, like, a soap opera and playing a villain where people who just take, like, Facebook news for gospel being like, fuck you, you, like, you killed this character on thingy. Like, I couldn't ever imagine having, like, false hair.
If you had to be in one, what would you be in? Corey? Emmerdale?
Yorkshire? I've never watched them. Yeah, maybe Heartbeat.
Okay.
Because Girthland's gorgeous. Love Girthland. So, yeah.
Do you feel like you are part of the fashion industry? Do you ever get days and you're like, what am I doing? Do you get imposter syndrome?
Oh, massively. Yeah. And it was, because at the time we weren't too sure how it would be perceived, because initially it was an entertainment show. Obviously it's fashion based, but our target audience is everyone. Like,
yeah.
Very cliche, but it was everyone. It wasn't like, yeah, we're going to do this, so we're respected in fashion. We just wanted to be like a Top Gear where you could be into fashion and you'll enjoy it, or you could just not be into fashion at all and enjoy it. So there was kind of times where I never realised. I think the thing that solidified it was Charles Jeffrey. We met him. It was a showroom. We went around and Charles Jeffrey was like, "Ah, oh, I know you boys, you're PAQ. Whenever I'm hungover, I always stick your show on." And I think that was when we realised we got proper respect out of, like, the fashion industry where... Yeah.
Do you... Obviously, you love fashion.
Yeah.
I hope so, because you've made money from it. But what's your favourite brand?
Fred Perry. It's always got to be.
Okay.
I'd say over, actually, it would be Fred. And I feel like... I've got such deep roots from my early life. Like, my mum was a mod, my auntie and uncle are punks. So it'd be like Fred and Doc Martens are my two staples. Like, there's brands that I love and brands that I admire, but if I was to wear two brands for the rest of my life, it would have to be Docs and Fred. And I was thinking about it, and it's because outside of fashion, don't get me wrong, I've got no musical talent in my body. I've got not got like a musical burning body, but the roots of music in, like, Fred and Docs is what makes it so cool to me.
Yeah, it's unrivaled by anyone else, really.
Exactly. And, like, Fred taking over the 100 Club, let's say. So, like, they bought out, like, I don't know the full story. I don't know if they bought the rights to 100 Club or, like, they own it and stuff like that. So they always do, like, the gigs and that.
Yeah.
They're always fantastic. And it's, yeah, it's the whole bridge of music and fashion and just pop culture has always been dead cool. And from the north as well, Fred Perry's, like, a staple. If you're going on a night out, you'd always have either a Ralph Lauren button down or a Fred Perry polo button down or, like, there wasn't much of a fashion scene, so Fred was your kind of, not high end, but it was your branded gear.
Yeah,
of course. So it made a lot of sense like that, and obviously celebrities getting it. And one of my favourite facts is, I'm going to say favourite facts, very, saying it with my chest and I'm going to get corrected straight away. Pretty sure no one has ever been paid to wear Fred Perry. They've never, obviously there'll be like money exchanged to do like campaigns or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's never been like full on ambassadors. So when you see people like Amy Winehouse, Frank Skinner, yeah, Pete Doherty's and that, they wore Fred for the love of Fred.
Mm.
And I think that's what made it a lot cooler and a lot like more appealing in a way, where knowing that it's not just being like a brand's got a fuck ton of money, we're going to throw it at someone who's going to get a big reach and it's going to pop off from there.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it stood the test of time, where it's gone through so many like subcultures throughout the years and it's still so relevant today.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the, I'm not sure of their name in America, the black polo with the yellow?
Oh, the Proud Boys.
That's it, Proud Boys. What are your thoughts on that?
It was weird because one of my first ones, I remember a photo that I had and I was so proud of it because I had the Doc Martens with the yellow laces and I paired it with the Fred Perry polo with the black polo. Obviously, this is years ago and I worked at Fred. And now, you know, you're just like, for fuck's sake, lads, you could have had anything and you've decided to do that. But I can't remember what it was now, but Fred came out with something really well. Like, they worded it really well, and it kind of shut them down. And now, obviously, Fred's still going that. Obviously, I think the yellow and black polo is still a bit touchy. You'd never go back to it now. There's no point. It's kind of... You're not going to bring it back. Do you know what I mean? Like, the connotations now, it's too far gone. But, yeah, it's like they kind of got themselves out of that rut, and it's... Yeah, I'm glad it kind of... People realise the stupidity of it before it...
Yeah, it was... It could have been catastrophic for the brand, but
yeah,
it had enough staying power to, people like you, fans,
Come
keep
on.
It alive.
Exactly.
obviously it's rooted in like subculture. And you mentioned your mum's a mod.
Yes.
And aunties.
Auntie and uncle punks.
Yeah. Subculture these days is sort of being brought back. So, by and large, by TikTok. Are you on TikTok?
So I have TikTok. Going to mention Dill again. I have TikTok, but I never go on it. And I think, like, I don't have an unhealthy relationship with Instagram, but I find myself doom scrolling a lot. And when we were at Cairo, we got told TikTok's the next big thing, and you kind of, it's kind of like the metaverse now, where you're kind of unsure because it hasn't happened yet at the time of this recording. But now TikTok is potentially the biggest platform now. But I never caught the train. I still feel like I'm past it. But every, what, I'd probably say every 45 minutes, I'll get a notification of Dill sending me a DM of some TikTok meme or something like that. So I've never been, I'll maybe check it once a week for about 10 minutes. But because I've seen, I feel like I'm already past it. Instagram's the one for me because I feel like Instagram's more of a digital photo album.
Yeah.
So that's how I quite like using Insta. But with TikTok, I'm kind of like, I don't feel the need to make something to go viral. I don't know. It's not my kind of thing, but you can't deny that the effect that TikTok has had is huge.
Yeah, it's mad.
It's absolutely massive. It's
sort of on viral. It's brought back, you know, Y2K fashion. There are trends that are popping out of, you know, 13-year-old girls and boys using it.
Yeah.
We probably have forgotten about. We wouldn't want back.
Obviously, at GQ, do you have to look at forecasting this kind of stuff?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, we should really know what's going on. But I'm not very good at TikTok. But we mentioned earlier Indie Sleaze, and that's coming back on the catwalk. And I think that's a result of what's going on TikTok and things like that.
Yeah.
Like back in the day when we were a similar age, we would have been looking at Tumblr. And I think that is now the new Tumblr. So I would have been looking at Tumblr and being like, oh, right, this is like skinny jeans, look, la, 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 la. This is what I want to be doing. And then I think,
You know what, even saying that, it's a perfect way because I think Instagram is, obviously you can, as you all know, you can make a false reality, but not so much because it's still photo-based and video-based. But the thing that Tumblr and TikTok kind of have in common is you can be a character.
Yeah.
You can be kind of anonymous and you can kind of do whatever you want to be perceived as, you can do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it kind of, it does have that dreamy mood board-esque kind of, I can reinvent myself online to be whatever.
I mean, it's mad because we were talking with List about dark academia and that
the
is just,
that?
Exactly, but it's kind of you, loafers, big fan, right. That kind of preppy style, but mixed with that gothic, that
like thing. Androgynous.
Who would have thought that was going to become a trend? And that is going to come out now.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, even like loafers have blown up recently. Yeah. Like there's Throwing Fits who worded it best, the Throwing Fits podcast, and they worded it best in its post-sneaker world.
Yeah.
So it was, I don't know. I don't know how I started wearing loafers, but it always made me feel not cool, but you always want to be, you never want to be underdressed. Like I'd kick myself if I left the house to do something proper in like joggers and a t-shirt, and then I got asked to go for like dinner with the queen, let's say. Just theoretically, that kind of thing.
Has that happened?
Not yet. I keep turning her down. But she keeps pestering me. But it's that kind of thing where if you're there in like suit trousers and loafers, you're kind of ready for anything where it's, you don't look like a pillar. You don't look like you're, half of these lads today are going to rinse in. You do look like you dress for school every day, but you don't look like a school kid and you don't look like you come from a job interview. But there's something cool about, like, it's relaxed and it's, I'm dead comfy, don't get me wrong. Like, these are some of my most comfiest trousers. These are like £30 Relco ones. It's my best kept secret. So this kind of stuff where it's like stay press and that, you don't really have trousers that really bother you unless you're wearing like very fucking dry denim that itches. Mm. You don't need to be too comfortable. Like, you don't need to be proper dapper 24/7, but I do like dressing smart because you do feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you've got that, you're kind of like, yeah, you know what? And yeah, you just feel a bit better. Whereas if you're just lounging like sweatpants and three-day-old t-shirt and whatever, you don't really have the same confidence. And I think that's where the majority of the style comes from.
Yeah, of course. What is your process in the morning? Do you lay things out the night before or you just get up and go?
You know what? I've been toying with the idea recently again because if I had, I'm not going to lie, this podcast, like, I've had, not an outfit, but I do pack, like, so I've been here 3 days, I only packed two trousers, and this is one of them, so I was wearing the other ones. Mm. So I knew what I was wearing for this, and it was a hell of a lot easier. And I've only got, like, a t-shirt, a jumper, a t-shirt, two jumpers, and two jackets. And even then I was like, why am I making such a fuss? And it's like, in the morning I'd be like, oh, does that go better with that? I was like, I probably should have just planned it. It takes 15 minutes the night before. And I feel like it does give you that head start. So yeah. I kind of might start laying it out again like a school kid, like non-uniform day. But I basically, when I'm at home in Drift and I'm not doing anything apart from playing PlayStation, I either live in Sporting Rich joggers or got the new JW Anderson Uniqlo, you know, the fluffy ones.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's like, what, the Polar Tech, Heat Tech, whatever. So I live in those just to go collect me Greggs in the morning. But if I'm actually going to go...
with a pair of loafers. Oh, have you tripped out?
They don't actually suit them. I think it's my sock choice. I live in Sambas.
Okay, yeah.
So Sambas are like my weapon of choice. But then if I was going to go out and like do something, like if I was going to go, say like take a car journey or something, if I was going to go to like another town or whatever, then it's always just the same. It's stay press, either loafers or Sambas. And then I think on the top, it's kind of a free-for-all. So I can kind of, anything goes. It's all blacks in kind of a free reign.
I need to ask, how many pairs of loafers do you have?
Oh my God. I probably, no joke, have about 14, 16 at least off the top of my head.
Obviously, you love fashion.
Yes.
What triggered it? What got you into it?
I actually can't remember like the first trigger of fashion. I remember, this is kind of, God, I feel like I'm in therapy. It's,
fashion therapy.
Fashion therapy. Retail therapy.
Yeah.
Wow, what a name. There we go. Write that down, Matt. Retail therapy, pod name. I remember going to, we used to call it the Rec, it's the recreational ground, the cricket club.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a group of lads who were maybe 4 or 5 years older than us. And I don't know what I'd have been wearing at the time, but they would have been wearing like Topman and River Island. Tell you what it would have been, they'd been wearing Topman and River Island, and so would I. And then when they started wearing stuff like All Saints, ooh, I was like, yeah. I was like, whoa, fucking hell, you must be made of money. I'd have been like 12, they'd have been like 16 to 18.
And I just remember seeing that. 2008, 2009?
Yeah, 20, yeah, something like that. Around then. And it was, I remember seeing them being like, that's cool. And I remember kind of, I wasn't dressing to impress them, but it was that kind of thing where what you wore is still, let's be honest, it is.
Yeah.
It is judgeable by its cover. Like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, when you meet someone, but at first glance, you can kind of tell a lot by someone by their outfit.
Yeah, of course.
Especially, obviously, working in fashion, it's just like a subconscious kind of thing, isn't it? And so I guess that was like my first time of really thinking about what I wear. Because I think before that, it had probably been like some Billabong surf shorts and like a Cabrini t-shirt from...
In Yorkshire?
Oh, 100%. Just like when you're going out with your mates, just like kicking football around and that.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like floral swimming trunks, like the surf shorts and t-shirts. And when you see like Topman and that, it's like plimsolls or Toms with like joggers and the three-button t-shirts and was it two or three for a tenner?
Those
kind of ones. And I think that was like your first kind of, I don't know, the first realistic fashion. But I remember also, because I was chatting about this with my mate recently, where I'm from, the closest place to go shopping is Hull, which is half an hour away. And even then, it was only Zara, Topman, River Island, and your kind of usual high street. And I remember I've got a friend called Aaron Young, and me and him used to be really into like the New York influencer kids now. I don't know what you call them, but it was like Kerwin Frost, Lucas Abbott, Ass Pizza, Mike the Ruler.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Virgil and that. And I remember we used to love those, and it was when Virgil was sticking stuff on the back of t-shirts. It was printed on the back of Ralph Lauren's. And what they were wearing is really cool. And I remember me and Azza, we used to go to London just to go to stores so we could hold a pair of like Raf Simons Oswegos in our hand. Because you'd see them online. You see all these like cool people wearing them and like you'd see them on like rap videos and whatever. Massive diehard Travis Scott fan. Love him. Always have been. Maybe not so much anymore. But,
I was going to say, can we say that?
Maybe not anymore. It was like Al Ferran, Days Before Rodeo. It was that kind of era of music was phenomenal. And the whole style and that around that era is just brilliant. And then with the Oswegos and that, just going there and being like,
where would you go in London?
It was probably like Harrods was the one, I think, which is really rogue now because after living in London, Harrods is so far away from everything.
It's
rogue.
Not known for its trainers either.
No, isn't it? But even just like Selfridges, whatever, just like in Leeds, just any multi brand whatever, if they stock luxury goods, we'd find these kind of stuff that you see rappers and that wear, and you'd be like holding a Gucci piece and being like, you hear it name dropping so many songs, it's like, this, like, obviously holding it, this is me holding a t-shirt, feeling the sleeves and that, being like, this is a Gucci t-shirt.
Yeah.
This is the same thing that he'll have on his back in, like, a music video, before, like, all, like, archive stuff and that.
Yeah.
You see, it's like, bloody hell, I think that was probably when I first realised that I loved fashion, the way it's like, this is sick, and I want to be, not only do I want to see that and be that sick, I want to be like, I want to wear this and be able to keep up to date and be like, yeah, obviously, definitely didn't go down the Oswego kind of route, but...
I need to ask, your mum, what kind of stuff does she wear? Is she still a mod?
Why did that get such a reaction? tell you what, my mum dresses, I hope she don't mind me saying this, she just dresses like a stereotypical mum.
What about it was... Exactly. You want to stop bloody drinking.
He says. Yeah, no, mum doesn't dress like... She still has like a cropped haircut, I guess. But I tell you what, now that I think about it, mum's like... Mum's obviously a middle-aged woman. I can't tell if it's like a cropped mod cut or if it's just a Karen cut. But she still likes like a paisley. Sorry, mum. She still wears like paisley frocks and that, and she still has like mod things, but mainly with mum, it's the music. So she's always loved like Paul Weller, like Style Council.
Yeah.
So like Jam Style Council, and she's like other, just maybe like soul and that. So it's not so much dressing like a mod, but I remember times when I've never known mum as a mod in that way, like dressing. Just being from the music, and then when I got a bit older, she showed me photos like her and one of her first boyfriends where he had like a scooter with like all the mirrors on it, and she was on the back of it, both in parkas. There's another photo of her in a parka on Christmas holding up Sound Effects by The Jam on vinyl.
Mm.
And she was like, I was buzzing to get this and all this kind of stuff. So it's more just kind of like the music side of that, and little kind of prompts where when I was getting into it a little bit, she'd be saying, oh, like you'll have to get some desert boots. So I remember walking down Oxford Street to get some proper Clarks Desert boots, because I think I'd had some Topman ones in the past. She's like, now that your feet have stopped growing a bit, we'll get you some proper like desert boots. Same with Dr. Martens as well. And funny enough, the first pair of Dr. Martens she bought me are the same ones that I wear now. I've had them for 10 years at least.
Wow.
And they're still going strong because I polish them up and whatever, and they still come up great. But
did it take you ages to break in? Because they are...
No, I've got such a technique. No, so what it is, because they're just like all leather and there's not like much
interest. Asbestos feet or something.
No, not even. You just fucking, what you do is you blast them with a hairdryer, high heat, low power, blast them on the inside and outside, thick socks. God, I'm going to have to stand up for this. And you know when you like get your creases, I don't know what you'd call it, but yeah, you stand up and you get your creases in them, take them off, blast them again and wear them on a night out. And I promise you, you won't have shit from them. I broke in a pair of the Churches, which is the monkey boot style, broke them in on the same night.
And they were the ones that are notorious. Blind like, drunk, though, on a night out? Or
it does help because you kind of, I know it sounds off, but it's because you don't really feel it as much, but you're also away from home, so you can't just be like, oh, I'm just going to nip home and change my shoes.
Yeah.
But it's one of those where once you've done that first hurdle, as soon as you've tried them on the second time, you're like, oh, these are actually not too bad.
Yeah.
And then they're broken in from there. It's, fun fact, top tip.
What is the first item you've ever truly, truly loved that you've owned?
So the first thing that I properly bought, that was like my first kind of high-end purchase, was a Givenchy 17 watch. And it was coming up to like my 18th birthday. I think it was like 4 or 5 months away. And I was in Liberty and it was a watch that I've always loved because a lad that I follow on Instagram had the same one in a different colour. And it was like maybe 750 quid down to 500. So mum and dad said, right, we'll transfer you the money and it's going, that'll be your 18th birthday present. And yeah, I think that'll be my first proper, like, real purchase, I guess. Like my first, yeah. God, but there must be something before then, but that was like first top of my head.
So 18, so before that, everything else was crap.
Pretty much,
top man.
100%, yeah, because well, I started peaking when I was 19. So other than that, I've just always lived in Driffield where it's not live within your means, but it's that kind of thing where it's like, why am I spending... It's that whole thing where it's like, what's that thing? It's like, lads will spend 400 quid in a pair of trainers to impress a lass in a 5 quid boohoo dress. it's that in Driffield, or it's like, why am I going out and spend all this designer gear when everyone else is just wearing this kind of shit? It's like, if you told someone I'm wearing a 500 quid top, they'd swill you. So there's no point in buying this kind of stuff until it's appreciated.
Yeah.
So I think the watch was like the best step into that luxury fashion item. I'll tell you what it might be as well. It would have been, we had an episode of PAQ where I pulled a pair of Gucci loafers, or I think we'd bought them, but had to return them. So we'd already like, they were technically ours like in our possession. And I said to the producers, can I buy them off you? Oh, I can't remember if I bought them off them or they're a bit too small, but I remember thinking, no, they're a bit too small. I remember thinking, I really want these. So I went to Liberty on the night and I bought a pair of Gucci loafers for 535, I think it was. And I remember thinking, fucking hell, I've just spent half a grand on a pair of loafers. And I was thinking, Jesus.
Are these the same loafers that you told me earlier have gone moldy?
No, no, okay. Different ones. But but yes, I think that was like my first proper purchase of like high-end luxury, like high-end clothing. And I kind of, you do get a taste for it, don't you? Yeah. Once you spent it once, you never think, right, I'm banging with this. It's like, oh, now I've done that. I'm waking up, I still feel exactly the same. So I'm like,
do you still have that watch?
I do.
Do you wear it?
I don't. It needs another battery.
Uh-huh.
But I left it in a holdall when I moved house one time. I just packed it into a holdall because I had another watch. And it's still in the same holdall. So I know exactly where it is. And I bring it out a few times and be like, oh, fucking hell, I remember this. Like, it was so sick. I need to get that fixed at some point. But recently I was looking at it being like, this is feasible to wear again. It's still like really cool in that. Because I only wear like what I've got on now and then a Garmin like a Fitbit equivalent thing, like a running watch. So you know what? Why not? Like, I might just get it sorted.
Get it back
now.
Out. Yeah, why not? Is there anything that you, obviously there are so many collaborations, so many drops. Is there anything that you had your eye on, didn't get, and you really, really wish you had?
Not so much like in a sellout way, but again, it's another PAQ one where I remember the loafers, but I can't remember the backstory to how they were. And I want to say it's when we did an episode where we dressed like each other. And Elias dressed like me, and he had these red and black Burberry loafers. Mm. And they were gorgeous. It was like a tassel loaf, but it was like a cricket ball red kind of thing. It was a really strong, pinky, I don't know what the colour was called. And they were like quite, they weren't like too wild, but they were still quite eccentric. And they'd been like another 400-500 quid. And I remember thinking like, oh, I really like them. And I might just do the same thing as what I did with the Gucci. So I was like, can I give you lot the money and then I keep them? I didn't do it. And I didn't think much of it. And the longer it's gone, it's more like, I kind of kick myself trying to find something similar. And I can't find anything like that where all my loafers, to me, they're very different. But if you looked at it, it'd be like, why have you got 15 pairs of the same fucking shoe? But these are one of those shoes where it's like, they were quite a statement piece.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes if you got something like a bit fancy, like either a red carpet or like a dinner, I'd be like, I wish I had something like that, that I would just have had to bring out once every blue moon.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that would have been it.
You've spoken a lot about British...
What about yourself though?
What about me?
Yeah.
What does that, I don't know.
Have you got anything like that?
What, that I really wanted?
Yeah.
No. There must be something. I mean, right now I'd love the Loewe Spirited Away collection, but...
Ooh.
That's, yeah, a bit out of my reach.
Mm.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, not as easy this side of the
sea,
is it?
No, it's not. I really liked Christopher Bailey's last Burberry collection, which was very big on... Check.
When would that have been? That would have been
2017, 2018, early 2018.
It might have been Christopher Bailey loafers then.
I think they were, yeah.
I bet we're off to the same thing, aren't we?
No, I've noticed you've mentioned a lot of British brands as opposed to international. Do you have a bit of an allegiance to shopping British?
No, I don't. I've always loved British subcultures, and I think a lot of them as well is... I get a lot of my style inspiration from like the 80s casuals.
Yeah.
The thing about them was they used to go around like international travel obviously was existed, but it wasn't too like common. So if your football team made it into like Europa League or whatever and you were playing away, they'd go around and they'd go to like sports stores and they'd pick up stuff that you couldn't get back here. So there's a lot of like your Lecoq Sportif, like your LS, Ticinis and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that all comes under it where it's, I love British subcultures, but it's not necessarily British brands because I think, just like everything British, it's not usually ours.
Oh, yeah.
So, so I think, yeah, a lot of, like, that kind of style is... It's an umbrella of, like, British style.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, the original mods base their looks on, like, Italian modernism. It was, mm-hmm. it was like, the Riviera, and it was wanting to dress cool, and it was seeing, like, all these, like, in, like, continental films and that. So it would be, like, your button-downs, your chinos, and your loafers, rather than looking like you've been thrown through This Is England kind of thing. So it was, yeah, I guess it is kind of like, the Italian style obviously was, like, button-down chinos and loafers, but that's such a British style as well.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah. It's not strictly British, but I guess everything that I do is subconsciously quite British inspired. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess
somehow.
So.
In a yeah. sense. But is there anything you want right now that's out there?
Oh. Oh, God, that's put me under pressure. I don't know. So there was some red and black Burberry loafers. No, I don't know, actually. There's not really. Like I said, I don't really look for stuff to shop at. Like, it's
again, gifted.
Yeah, but there was one where I remember seeing there was like this jacket, and it was it's like a Japanese, it's quite like thin, like ripstoppy looking thing, and it's like a hooded one with like side fastenings where you tie it up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing it on Instagram and being like, this is pretty sick, like, and I saved it to my Instagram. But I wasn't going to, like, go online, open up a tab and find it and buy it. Just kind of thought about it. I was like, that's really fucking cool. But I never did anything about it. Fast forward, I was actually meeting Dill at the pub. And then I was getting my hair cut and I was, like, running really late. So, but Dill ended up chatting to this lad called Dan, who we'd met, like, a few days before. And Dan was running a pop-up store next door to the pub. Anyway, I turn up, start chatting, whatever. And then Dan says, yeah, I've got a pop-up store next door, whatever. This is my Instagram. Look on the Instagram. One of the first photos is that jacket. I was like, no fucking way. So I end up going next day and end up buying it. And it's like, so that's the kind of thing where...
That's good marketing. Yeah. They've been tapping
but
into...
But you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have really bought it online, but because it's like, not because it's got a story behind it,
yeah.
but it's one of those, it's like, fuck it, I've got to get it now.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, if I was going to get it online, I'd have kicked myself straight away being like, it's however much I could have spent this on whatever. Mm. And I think I'm still... I'm a Yorkshire man, so it's I'm tight as fuck, so I think that's where most of it comes from.
Is there anything that you have that you've sort of grown out of but you would never sell?
Oh, yeah. I'm a very sentimental person, so I've got so many wardrobes. I've got, like, it got to the point where I have to have, like, clothes reels in my room just from hoarding shit. But at my parents' house, I've got, like, a sentimental wardrobe, and it's a lot of stuff where... It's all, like, PAQ kind of related stuff, like when we did, like, pop-up stores and design T-shirts to when I played baseball with the London Mets and they gave me a T-shirt.
No.
So that, like, I went to, like, the gig. It was the Prodigy's gig, the Days My Enemy tour in, like, 2015. So I've got that. So all, like, sentimental stuff. And I think that would be one of those, I just have to grab them all and, like, yeah. save them all. And, like, there's nothing off to my head that's, like, so the one piece, but...
How do you think your friends would describe your style?
3, 2, 1. Submissive and breathable. What was that, Magnus Ronning?
Submissive and breathable.
Submissive and breathable. I don't know. How would I describe it? I'd probably say schoolboy.
Okay.
It probably is that kind of thing where I dress like I'm off to church or something like that, where it's... Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think your style will change as you get older? Because obviously it has over the past 10 years, but do you think there'll
yeah,
be a shift?
I feel like I can't imagine it fully shifting, but I can imagine it maturing.
Okay.
So it just
so
depends.
No more Larry Amelie on door jumpers. Let's
see. Maybe it's going to go even Larry Amelie on door jumpers. Maybe it goes 4D with like a little sheep on it or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. It's... We'll cross that bridge when we come to it kind of thing. Because yeah. When I first started getting into it, the more I look forward, the more I realised I was looking backwards for inspiration. But there's only so far you can go before you're dressed in chainmail. So I kind of need to look forward again now. So.
Balenciaga.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Balenciaga putting it out.
Very so. True. Yeah, so.
Cool. Okay.
Happy days.
Right, let's wrap it up. You've done enough talking.
Yeah, there we go.